Last time on the WVTV show.
Not necessarily saying this is what you're going to do for the future, but what is it that makes you, that it clicks where you're like, this is, I love this. I get a natural high on this.
Well, Brian, I think it's weird calling you Brian, by the way, Mr. Weinstein. You'll always be Mr. Weinstein.
You can, that's fine.
I'll call you Brian for professional reasons.
Yes, that's fine. Welcome to the WVTV show. I'm Brian Weinsick, and joining us today we have senior at Waubonsie Valley High School, Karina Collins, also part of WVTV, Bailey Eppenstein, another senior joining us, Alfonso Badia, although you don't have a microphone. Alfonso, I'm sorry about that. So this is the first time we had Erica Caraballo in the studio 2 weeks ago. Then we had spring break. How was spring break, by the way, everybody? Are you glad to be back? You can be completely honest about that, too.
I am more ready to go to school now than I ever was next, like for Nebraska. I am so ready to leave.
You're ready to go
here.
To college,
yes,
is what you're saying.
I should, yes.
You're ready to get out. Yeah. So now senioritis finally kicked in?
Yes. I don't want to do anything for school, let alone read. I don't. Today has been really hard to sit through class and just like try to focus.
So this is technically the first day back from spring break. We had Monday off. Tuesday was teacher meetings. And then today, Wednesday is... first day of school. So, and then I will same to you, although Bailey, you had an interesting spring break, but do you feel refreshed? Or are you just kind of like senioritis is kicking in? We're ready to get out of here.
I feel more tired than I started with, mostly.
You're more tired?
Well, yeah, more tired. Like I,
although for you, that's about par for the course.
I probably started senioritis like sophomore year though. So I'm like,
all right. So, yeah, by the way, yesterday, it's odd when you guys are not in the building. Teachers have meetings about 6-7 days a year. And it's odd to not have you in the building, although a lot more things seem to get accomplished when students aren't in the building. I feel like at least in the TV studio. But it was kind of odd, so it's nice to have you guys back. And whether you want to be back or not, that's a completely different story. But all right, so one of the things I want to talk to you guys about was the election and voting, because you are new and fresh to the process, right? You just turned 18. I'm 45. I'm a little more soured by the process or by the people that are involved with politics over the time. So I guess just your initial thoughts, you, Karina, you did vote yesterday.
Yes.
Initial thoughts on that.
I didn't want to vote originally, and then my mom told me I had to go vote, actually, because there were some people that she didn't want to win, so I kind of had to cast my ballot in a way that wasn't...
Did she bribe you to vote a certain way?
So, and then I also knew two people running for alderman, and I felt like I should go vote and support, I don't know.
Okay, so why didn't you want to vote initially?
It just seemed like kind of like a waste, like this election, like any kind of like midterm or presidential election for Congress and everything, I'm more than willing and happy to vote. But for like my alder, I'm like, I don't even know what my alderman does. Like that is not something we covered in government. Like I don't even know what kind of like what, like there are people on the ballot and like I've never heard of your name before. Like, so I guess that's my own fault for going to vote and not being educated on the people running. But
okay, so but in government class, is it more you cover more national, broader rather than local or hyper local?
Yeah, so we covered like the three main branches of the government, like the U.S. government, like federal government, and then like we never talked really about city government or anything. I don't know if that's different. I was in AP government versus regular government, but and I already knew everything for the federal government, and then I don't know anything about like city government and how that works, which is kind of weird because I feel like your city government is more important than the federal government just because it impacts you more directly.
And that's the hard part. I worked for City of Naperville for 4 years, and I was not into any of that either. Okay, and then eventually, as I was working there, I had to sit through. So you guys complain about what you have to do for government class, right? That
no,
you have to do your
engagement.
What is it called? Civic engagement.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I worked, and I had to record every single city council meeting, which was every other Tuesday or two Tuesdays a month. And I was it was pretty much force-fed how politics work at a local level. And after a while, I grew to love it. There were some things that I didn't like about it. I mean, because there's just some things in politics that aren't very exciting. Like, hey, we got to repave the roads, and do we want parking meters and things like that. But So I kind of got a sense of that. But that's really, if I hadn't had that job, I might actually be in the same boat where you guys are at. Voter turnouts, if I recall, in Kane County yesterday was roughly around 15% of registered voters. Nice. That's bad, right? Yeah. That's a low, really, really low number. And I think that part of that is because of what you're saying is, what, if you're not voting for the president, it's not as exciting?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, when I voted in the midterms, I was so much more excited and be like, yes, like, let's see how this goes kind of thing. That was also my first, like, major election, I guess, I was voting in. But I definitely, like, yesterday was not the same. I was just kind of like, okay. Like, I don't, like, I didn't fill out portions of the ballot just because I didn't know people's names. And, like, I guess that's, again, my own fault. But
and you live in Aurora. There was no there was no Aurora mayoral election.
Nope.
Naperville elected a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
There were three school board members. And I believe last week, they both, I think all the incumbents had won for District 204. And I can, I get it. So, oh yeah. So, and I'm going to turn to Bailey. And don't feel bad, okay? Because it's good to have the perspective of, did you end up voting?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And you, because why?
I didn't even know that there was even an election.
Okay. So, and that's legit. That's, we're talking about education. Nobody knew what was going on. Now, you're also in the process, though. You're.
I'm 18. I could totally vote if I want to. But
are you interested in that?
A little bit. Like, sometimes, like, you know, like during like presidential and like Congress stuff. Not like city stuff, though. Like,
okay.
Nobody really cares about that.
Nothing local. No. More on a national level.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out how to ask what the best way to ask this would be. Are you in government class now, or did you take it already?
I've taken a government already.
And was there anything in there? And I know Chris Warlike teaches one of the sections.
No.
I forget who I think Adam Dice teaches a section. So what do they touch on local?
Not really. Like, they mostly talk about national and like all the other stuff, but they never bring up like city, like government.
What was the most exciting part of government for you?
I don't know. Maybe seeing the bill song again. I'm just a bill. It's the best part.
Did your mom go out and vote then, Karina?
Yeah, I voted with my mom.
Oh, so. You voted with her. I'm sorry. Okay. The local, as you get older, the local elections you're going to find are more important. And I know all the old people probably tell you that, as Wolak said that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it affects you more. And although with the exception of this past election, we just had our taxes done and we got killed. We got killed in our taxes. So we're definitely going to be voting in 2020. Is that it? So I live in Oswego and they don't have a mayor. They have a village president because it's not as big. It's just a different setup. And they also had a school referendum. So their school is in really big trouble financially. And so it was like, hey, you need to vote for this or we're going to cut middle school football or your kid's not going to be able to join the math team or something like that. So if you have kids to go to school, they, you know, you obviously vote for that. If you're really old and your kids are gone and moved away, or if you don't have kids, you're really cool and you're in your, you know, early 20s, late teens, you're like, what does that matter? I don't have kids that go to school. So, it was just interesting to see. I don't, why is there voter apathy? I guess is really what I'm trying to, I can explain it from my point of view, I guess, but I want to hear you guys' first.
I guess more so for me, like, people just, like, don't know what city government is, but then, like, I guess there's also apathy when it comes to the presidential election.
Yeah, sure there
and
is.
And I just, for me personally, like, I think that's more so of a privilege standpoint. Like, you, like, aren't, like, a good, you're, like, a person who just isn't affected by politics because you do whatever you do in your job or something, and it's more of, like, a privilege point, like, that you don't have to vote for president because it won't affect you that much, versus, like, certain people and minorities and everything, like, kind of have to vote and, like, represent their views because they are a minority. So I feel like a lot of people just, like, are like, oh, it doesn't, like, it won't affect me, like, I'm, like, no matter what I vote, or people know who the winner is, like, who's going to win. Like, I think, like, Patti Smith had signs all over our neighborhood.
And, right.
Like, I could tell you that Patty Smith was going to win. And, like, so there was really no point for me to vote for alderman is another thing I think a lot of people argue.
And we had a teacher here at Waubonsie, Savannah Smith, who had run, and I think she ended up finishing in second place, but she had run for the, I don't know what ward is that, but the aldermanic ward of
eight. Ward eight.
The eighth ward. Okay. So, so that process was kind of interesting to see, because I don't know anybody that's in politics that has run for anything. I don't have that kind of power. I don't have that kind of clout. I mean, I know some board members through Twitter, through WVTV, but otherwise I don't really talk much with them. So the thing I don't like, and especially with social media, if you vote, and I want you to vote, that's outstanding and that's great and good for our country. If you don't, there's a lot of like shaming of people who don't vote, and the if you didn't vote you don't have the right to complain type of thing. I don't understand that. I know you want people to vote and participate, but I almost feel like that's counterproductive if you're gonna shame somebody into voting. I mean, some people may not, either they don't have the knowledge or the education base, or they just, like you said, don't think it's going to affect them in the long run.
Huh. I'm kind of lost. I don't know. Maybe like because they like shame them. Maybe it's like they didn't like vote for like their political party. Maybe like they're just like really like shaming. Like, oh, you didn't vote for my party. Shame on you. Like all that. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, there is some of that too. I mean, you guys aren't on Facebook. Obviously that's long gone, right? But you guys are more involved because you took a government class. You were in youth and government, so you have that knowledge base. But when I was in, let's say, my 20s, let's say, the news was depressing. I never listened to the news. I didn't know when I was in my 20s. I'm trying to think of when I was a kid. Reagan was president. Then the first Bush was president. And then it was Clinton. And I just never paid attention to politics. Right around 2000, like around when the second Bush was elected, mm-hmm. for some reason, that's when I started to get interested in news. And now that's, unfortunately, it's all I listen to is news radio. Is I got to know what's going on.
My dad
and I
does
hear
it. That.
Yeah. It, and it's just
an old people thing.
It is.
It's an old man thing. Yeah. Correction.
Really. He's on like AM radio like every day, like when we're driving.
I am. They call me an AM radio junkie.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. And like the some of the things about Trump are entertaining to me, but then there's things that anger me. And then on a local level, like Facebook is our local news for us, because we don't have a local radio station in Oswego and Aurora and Naperville, so that's how I get my information. But yeah, I like the perspective of the younger. I mean, it's just, but it's different because you guys are into it, you're involved, you're more educated into it, and there's some students that, again, just may not care.
I don't know. I think civic engagement is a good thing too, because yesterday as I was walking out of the pool, I saw two people who go to Waubonsie who are twins taking a picture I think it was civic engagement. They'll turn 19 this year, they're seniors, but they'll turn 19 in May. So I was like, this has to be for civic engagement. I don't know if it was their first time voting. I don't know if it was their first time voting that their mom took a picture. She was so happy that they were voting, yeah. Or if it was just like a for civic engagement thing, which, I mean, I had to take a picture when I voted in November for
credit.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I dislike that because then I feel like I have to do it. Yeah. Like I have to.
That's
do it
funny.
For
we were just talking about that earlier today with a couple students about the civic engagement, mm-hmm. about, because I said, well, just go to a bunch of board meetings or things like that. And I think they said, well, that's only worth 3 points, and they feel like they had to go.
I think one's required to go. Like you're forced to go to one.
Really? A board.
I never went to one.
A board meeting, but yeah. You did other things in place, or did, yeah. Did other.
I
things
went to a board meeting, like a school board.
They're
meeting.
Boring.
They are
they're
boring.
So boring. Yeah. Don't
and
let
like
anybody tell you they're not.
You, like then you gotta like sit there and like it's, they like release you an hour later. Like they have to like. Tell
it
you
is.
To
it's
leave.
A. It's a good introduction for you guys, but like Naperville City Council meetings in 2005, 2006, 2007 lasted 4 hours. We started at 7 o'clock. You can get out till 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Sounds like a big waste.
And it's
time.
Just, it's not, I mean, it's part of it, of the process is great, but it's just at the same time, people talk to, you know how it is. Old people want to, and you, when I say old people, I mean people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, okay?
Old people
to you are, yes, I am old to you. They like to hear themselves talk, and whether it's teachers or politicians or your parents. That I don't have to tell you. I'm preaching to the choir. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of sports. The Waubonsie Mutia hockey team won the state tournament. We'll talk about that. Plus, NCAA tournament's going to wrap up this weekend. And Major League Baseball opening day for some clubs around MLB. You're listening to the WVTV show.
This is the WVTV show.
Welcome back to the WVTV show. We've got Jack Coachman on the line. He's a WVTV alum and currently at North Central College. And we talked in during the first podcast, Jack, about having you on. And we had Ryan Klimchek on, somebody you're familiar with as well. How's things going at North Central College?
Things are going well. I got a chance to listen to that first episode, and it was nice to hear Ryan's voice. I know he's involved over at Ball State. I'm fortunate to be doing some of the same things, working with the radio station at North Central, and I'm still doing sports commentary, sports play-by-play, as well as just general radio activities are a lot of fun. And it's kind of nice to be close to home back in the area by Waubonsie.
So what kind of sports are you guys? Are you hyper-local? Are you mostly North Central? Or are you allowed to talk about the national scene?
We are advised to talk as much about North Central as we can. The sports that we cover are all North Central sports. We do baseball and softball right now. We also did men's and women's basketball and football back in the fall. But when we have a Sunday night sports show or when we do sports reporting on air, we are allowed to talk about local Chicago sports or national sports. I'm always pushing for more national because that's what everybody can relate to, more so sometimes than just one local sports team like the Cubs or the White Sox. Let's talk about the whole MLB.
What's your voice sounds different, and I know obviously from when I remember, obviously when you were 17, 18 years old, I mean, you sound a lot better, a lot older, and obviously you are, but do you notice that when you hear your own recordings? Do you kind of listen to your own recordings and then kind of give yourself feedback on that?
Yeah, to some end. Maybe it's a cliche of the industry, even though I'm not a professional, but I don't like to listen to my own voice. I think it's weird to listen. I'm like, oh, I know what I'm going to say next.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I've been doing sports commentary, well, since we started my junior year back at Waubonsie. That would have been 2012, 2013. Since then, I've been able to listen to the people that I work with and see I have more experience than others who work at WONC, the North Central radio station. So I can kind of glean information and insights from what they do because they have no experience. I also can reflect on what I do to try and shed light on other people who are learning how to do sports play-by-play or audio content in general.
Yeah, that WONC, that is, if I were to have a different job, I think that would be the manager of that station would be one of those jobs. It just is, it's a great facility. You're working with students that are good at what they do. They want to be there. They want to do those sorts of things. And that's a lucky place to be. So I'm glad you're there. I'm glad things are working out for you. Let's talk a little NCAA basketball because your Twitter feed is awesome. Did the bracket play out the way you thought it would play out this year?
I think the story going into round of 64 play was there are 7 or 8 teams that are better than everybody else. And we know March Madness is notorious for upsets, but even with the few that we got this year, everybody expected a lot of chalk. And I think we had that up until about the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. I had a sneaking suspicion that there would only be 1 or 2 top seeds to make the Final Four, and that came true. But the path to get there was a little bit more uncharacteristic than I think people were expecting. There were some upsets in the round of 32. We have a 3 seed and a 5 seed in the Final Four, which is not what was happening Sunday night when the brackets were released. If you watched ESPN or CBS Sports, everybody was picking 1s and 2s, and we got the madness that we love.
Yeah, the first two rounds, here's my take on this, okay? Because I love that Thursday and Friday, the first two rounds, as a lot of people do. I used to be able to take off of work and go to these games, or not go to these games, but to watch the games on TV. This year, was really unsatisfying that Thursday and Friday, even that Saturday and Sunday, with the exception of maybe UCF and Duke. And I know Oregon was a 12 seed, but it just was still unsatisfying to me. But the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight games, to me, that felt like the first round games. So what's more important for the tournament, to have the best teams get to the finals or to have that really good hot first weekend? Because I feel like once you get a team like a Loyola, let's say Loyola wasn't such a great story last year, they get to the third round, but you're missing out on top teams like a Duke or a Virginia that aren't in the Final Four.
What happened this year, I think, is a product of we are much better at understanding basketball. The analytics behind it are a lot more prevalent and easy to understand for the common viewer. So even when Oregon, as a 12 seed, won their first two games, we all kind of expected that because that was a popular upset choice. So that, I think, led to a lot of the dissatisfaction of the opening rounds, is all of the upsets that happened were largely predicted. Now, I think it is good for the NCAA, for Turner Sports, and everybody that's involved making money on it, to have still a couple of close matchups on opening weekend. But really, what we got with the Elite Eight was unmatched. I don't think there's ever been an Elite Eight with as close of games by margin of victory, including two overtimes.
It was outstanding.
That ultimately was best for them.
Yeah, it was outstanding. It was so great to have the close games, the two overtime games. And again, it's like I like to see Cinderella. I love to see that in the later rounds. And nothing against those like the Loyolas or years ago George Mason was in the Final Four. But it takes away from, like, you want to see those big teams in that tournament. You want to see those teams in the Final Four. Even a team like Texas Tech, which to me is still a football school, it's so weird to see them in the Final Four this weekend.
Yeah, and Auburn, I think, right now fills the shoes of the Cinderella team because they had one of their star players get injured during the course of the tournament. They also are a just three-point shooting team. They live and die by the three, as many experts would say, over time. And that, I guess, could present itself as a Cinderella. But we've knocked out most of the blue bloods. Even Michigan State and Virginia, they're known for being good basketball schools, but more recently under Tom Izzo and Tony Bennett. But Duke's gone. North Carolina's gone. Kentucky's gone. Mm-hmm. So now you have attracted the viewers back in who are like, I don't want to just watch Duke play every game, and we still have really good teams. So I think this worked out amazingly for organizers of the tournament.
What's who are your favorites this weekend?
I think Virginia, they are the odds-on favorite to win it all, and I think they've got the best story. They lost to a 16 seed last year. They had close first-round games down at the half earlier in the tournament. So I think Virginia is the favorite to win it all, and I'll stick with them. I also like to support the Big Ten. So I think Michigan State, they've got the best coach remaining in the tournament, and I think that's what's going to pull ahead over Texas Tech. So I'll take Virginia over Michigan State, but really I'd love to watch Auburn and Michigan State. That would be, I think, best for everybody's eyes. It would be a really fun game.
In addition to doing what you do, you're really a sports fan as well. Is this on your – have you been to a Final Four or an NCAA game? Is this on your bucket list? What's like your – if it's not the Final Four, what would it be?
Maybe I'm a bad sports fan, but I really like watching sports on TV. I have never been to an NFL game. I've never been to an NBA game. And the college basketball I've watched has always just been whatever school I'm attending at the time. So I'm all right not going, but I do think that especially when they have games nearby, if it's Chicago, Milwaukee, even Kansas City isn't too far, I think those are opportunities that if I am older and I have the finances to do so, yeah, I'll go check out some NCAA, especially opening weekend play. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to say I am 21, but Las Vegas opening weekend would be an experience. I've heard great things about that.
I have done that one time, and I think it's something everybody should experience, to be in some sort of sports book. And even, if you could find a place that has some place where you can watch all four games at one time, it is an experience. Go ahead and plug whatever it is you're up to now, your Twitter account and WONC. What are you guys doing here in the spring right now?
Yeah, unfortunately, my Twitter has died down a little bit. I made a revival for the bracket being released, but I'm at Coach Coachman on Twitter. So first coach is like the profession, and then Kochman. I think WONC is up to great stuff. We actually, as of this recording, so this is on a Thursday, it's the day of giving at North Central. So we've got a little tent set up outside of our radio station campaigning for donations to support the program. And we're covering baseball, softball all throughout the season. You can hear me on Tuesday evenings. I'm often on a show called Variety Viso, which is a movie review, TV review show, as well as a sports show. It talks about all levels of sports on Sundays. The Tuesday night shows from 8 to 10 and Sunday nights from 6 to 8. Otherwise, we're 24/7 radio, which is really unique for college. So if at any point you just want to turn on the radio, we're FM 89.1 locally or WONC.org. You can listen in, as well as iHeartRadio. Wow, there are a lot of ways to listen to radio.
See, and people thought radio was dead.
Yeah, now there's just like five different ways to hear the same thing.
Hey, Jack, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'm really excited for the things you're doing, and it's great to have you on. We'll probably have you on here again in the future, and I wouldn't mind talking some local stuff with you as well if you want to talk some North Central sports. So thanks for the time, Jack. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Love the show.
All right. Thanks. That's Jack Coachman out at WONC in downtown Naperville. Really great job that those students are working on out there. And it's nice to see a WVT alum like Jack able to take care of business and really kind of get into what it is that he loves. We're going to talk Waubonsie Valley, Matilla Valley hockey after this. I'm Brian Weinzick. You're listening to the WVTV show.
You're listening to the WVTV show.
Joining us now is Nate Burleson. He's a senior at Matilla Valley High School. And the cool thing about you, Nate, is that you are pretty much a man of all media. You do work with the Maine and you work with the Stampede. Tell me a little bit, what's that like to be a part of every little piece of media in that high school?
Oh, it's really interesting. I actually started on the Maine my sophomore year. So I spent a lot of time just doing strictly video. And then some of the older students who were in both at the time were like, yeah, you should definitely join newspaper. And I had never really been a writer. I got into broadcast for like the technical side of it. But then I realized I liked the writing aspect so much more. And it was honestly like my favorite part, because everything, you can know all the technical stuff, but if you don't know how to write, you can't ever produce a good story.
You know, that was going to be my next question to you, was what your favorite part. Newspapers are kind of morphing away from the physical paper to an online paper now, which is what Matilla is doing.
Yeah, we actually don't have a newspaper anymore.
Okay.
My freshman year, we were a newspaper. And then sophomore year, that was the first year they started doing a magazine. So I've only ever worked on our magazine, which is an interesting format, because on like a newspaper, it feels like you're reading strictly like news, something that you would find online on a daily basis. But in a magazine, it's much more long form. It's feature stories, and you think, and you have a lot more time to process the story.
But you're combining all of your skills right now in a sense that we're going to talk about hockey here in a little bit. When you go, you know, you're taking video, you're writing down at the same time. So really you're kind of using almost all of those skills combined into whether it is you're writing an article or you're doing a highlight package.
Yeah, we're really pushing multimedia this year as a staff on the Stampede. And Mr. Page, the advisor, he kind of like put me at the forefront of it for sports specifically, just because I was one of the people on staff who had the video experience as well as the print experience. And we've been doing a lot of photo galleries. When we have some nice point and shoot cameras and some nice DSLRs. And I've been a good photographer too. I've been taking photos since like eighth grade, and I've gotten pretty good at it to where I feel comfortable going to a game and taking pictures and writing the article. And that's what I did for a while at the beginning of the seasons. But then like I started to become a lot easier when it was like, okay, somebody else is taking photos. I can just sit here and focus on the game, and the stories were really nice. So I think there's a positive to doing the media for everything, but also when people are sharing the workload, it all turns out better.
When I was in college, I had done TV, radio, newspaper. I had done all three, and it was really exciting for me because I was a sports fan, so I was able to cover sports. Two, I was able to visit different venues outside of the Chicagoland area which yeah. I didn't get to do as a kid. So you go to the United Center and you walk in, and I know you've probably been there for a Blackhawks game, but you walk in and you're press now. Like, what's your feeling? How excited are you to be there as a member of the press?
Oh, it was surreal. I wanted to not be completely fanboy over everything. I wanted to be professional to an extent.
Yes.
So they were like, I talked to Ryan Riske at NCTV, and I said, "Hey Ryan, do you know how I can get a press pass for the game on next Friday?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he gave me the email to the Blackhawks guy, and then the guy responded really quickly, and he's like, "Yeah, your name's going to be on the list." So I walked up to the United Center, and the front entrance, there's a gate to the side. It's gate 3.5, and that's the media only entrance. So I walked in there, went through a metal detector, and they found my name on a list, and then they gave me my pass. And I was in the basement, in the dwellers yeah. of United Center.
So was this your first experience with something like that within, I don't know if you've ever been to Guaranteed Rate Field or Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So was your first experience like that?
That was my first experience covering something that wasn't at a high school when it came to sports. And it felt pretty, pretty awesome. And then they led me through, and I had this pass. I just felt so professional, and I was like, wow, I couldn't believe doing this every night. Must be a lot of fun.
So let's talk about the team. And for some people who don't know, it's called Combined Varsity. It actually took me a few years when I first started working here to kind of figure that out. It's combined. It's Waubonsie Valley and Matilla Valley. It used to be mm-hmm. the two Oswego high schools as well. This was a really strong team this year, and you've been to a couple of regular yeah. season games as well. What was their major strength? Why were they so good this year?
Well, they just had talent coming out of their ears, and they also had experience on top of that talent. The junior, he was their goal scorer. He had 4 assists in the state championship. Zach Pierce, he's really good, and he was really good last year. And they rekindled after last year. I know they had a lot of talent across the board, and they weren't just they weren't just relying on one line. They weren't just relying on 3 guys to carry the entire load of their offense. And they were just deep. There was a good culture. Everybody was invested in the team, which in a sport like hockey, where you can play club hockey, and club hockey might actually end up being more important than your high school team just because of competition level. But kids on the team were obviously still feeling a sense of a brotherhood. And it was really just inspiring to watch the team learn from mistakes that they did make when they actually did make mistakes, and they never dwelled on anything. The team didn't have a big weakness that other teams could find out how to exploit.
That game was actually closer than I thought it would be. And maybe because they had met a couple times in the regular season. And honestly, as a high school student we asked you about your experience as a press member, but to be a high school, if you've never been there to skate on the ice before with the music and the scoreboard and the fans, that's gotta be distracting, at least for the first period of the game.
Yeah. Well, it's huge. I mean, all season has character, but it's
the barn. It's the barn. It's
older, but it's huge how big the United Center is, and the ice and the stands, three levels up. It's just, that has to be the biggest thing, I'm sure. But then again, this team had been there last year, and they'd been in the state championship last year, so they already knew kind of the process and what it looked like, how it felt. So they were able to kind of get past that surrealness and really just focus on playing their best hockey.
Now, the game started late, and then it lasted 2 overtimes. And I would assume at that point there was so much adrenaline in the building that I can imagine nobody had left, even though it was midnight, probably.
Oh yeah, nobody was leaving. I think I saw a couple of Glenbard fans leaving when it was still 3-1, early in the third period, given it was midnight at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple people were leaving, but really everybody stayed. Everybody wanted to be there for the end, no matter what. Everybody wanted to be there to watch this team, either Blake Hoyt, just to watch him hoist the trophy, because you never want to be that guy who leaves and then your team makes a big comeback. So that's why Glenbard fans didn't leave. And then you never want to be the guy who leaves your team's out big because you're going to be able to see them lift the trophy. I don't know. The fans are great.
It's a sport, and it's funny you bring that up. The following for hockey, because it's technically a club sport and not an IHSA sport, the fans have more they have more freedom, they have more leeway at hockey games where they're banging on the glass. They may be saying some stuff that you normally couldn't get away with saying at a high school basketball game. And so I think that freedom, maybe that's why they draw more. The amount of fans at the United Center was incredible for both schools. Wabanzi's 2,600, Matias 2,700 probably.
Yeah.
But a big following. So it really was, it was great to see that.
Yeah, and then I was there earlier, actually, for the non-combined game, which was Nutria and Loyola, which are huge hockey schools. And, like, Matias/Wabanzi and Glenbard, they went fan for fan with everybody from there. I think it's less about the school and it's more about, like, just the culture, because I think everybody gets up for it and everyone gets excited. And it's a little bit – it's more exciting to cheer on. I'm going to be honest. It's more exciting to cheer on a hockey game in that environment than to be in like the student section of like basketball.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have to apologize for that. I understand. I know we discuss it here as to how we can get more people involved in football and basketball. And there's something within hockey that doesn't exist within, not the sport of hockey, but at those events, there's something that exists that doesn't exist within the separate schools. I want to give you a chance to plug what you're doing, plug your Twitter account. Where are your articles? Where can we find your articles? What's your Twitter account?
Yeah, so my Twitter account is at nburleson, B-U-R-L-E-Y-S-O-N. I tweet a lot. I'm on Twitter all the time. It's my favorite social media. I just love being connected. I'll tweet a lot about sports. I'll tweet just some funny stuff that I see. But you can read a lot of my articles on Matia Media. But soon enough, I won't be writing for Matia anymore, and that's just kind of crazy. Graduating shortly. But medium.com/nburleson. I put articles that I write on there. And then if you follow me on Twitter, you'll find out what I'm doing.
Okay. And then what are you covering in the spring now? Are you still, I know it's only like 45 days till graduation, but what are you covering in the spring here?
I'm looking forward to getting out to some baseball games. The team's been doing pretty well so far this year. I need to do that. Water polo is doing well. I'm covering them. Boys lacrosse, which is another combined team.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah.
All right. And then,
And boys and girls, both, I believe those teams are combined.
Yeah, tribe lacrosse.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Did a really good job. Very enjoyable. And we may talk to you, maybe we'll talk to you in the future if we talk lacrosse, because as long as these schools are combined, it's kind of cool to see what's going on at both schools. So thanks for joining us, Nate. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. You too. I'm Brian Weinzick. This is the WVTV show. Great show today. We want to thank Jack Coachman at WONC in North Central College for joining us. We want to thank Nate Burleson of the Stampede at Matia Valley High School. And then, of course, thank Karina Collins and Bailey Eppenstein for joining us in studio. We'll be back again next week. Remember, you can email us, wvtv@ipsd.org. We welcome your feedback. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WVTV. And just new, you can now follow this podcast on Spotify, and you can also follow it on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the WVTV show. Email us at wvtv@ipsd.org or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WVTV.